us will keep our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
A very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mel Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at the AFL and Blues news, as well as who's putting their hand up from the reserves, and we look back at the game against the Bulldogs and preview the game against the Demons. Special guest live interview today is former Carlton and Melbourne footballer Brock McLean. We cross live to the hyphen David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front, provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But Craig, we couldn't do this show without our loyal sponsors.
No, we definitely can't, and we'd like to thank WA Blues major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers and ICU Finance Group.
Thank you. Thanks, Craig. Well, good morning, Jesse and Mel. How are we?
Morning, guys.
Not as good as last week.
No. You sound a bit flat, you guys. What's going on?
No, I'm not too bad.
Just It was good signs. Just if we could put four quarters together, it'd be even better.
If we could put four quarters together, we probably would have won about six games by now.
Yeah, we'd be looking pretty good. Yeah,
I was pretty happy until halfway through the third. It's when everything kind of
turned into
just put the brakes on.
All seemed to change when, not that it made the difference, but when Jack went out of the game.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Not that it made any difference. But
did you see the points differential when he's in and out during the week? It's something ridiculous, like up plus 45 points when he's in the side and something like negative 60 when he's out of it.
Gives his heart and soul, doesn't he?
He does.
He's a Silvani, mate. He should.
He's not as talented as his father.
But he's got the determination.
Yeah, and he's hard.
He does those
1%. How unlucky is he, though, mate? He's just having a shocking run.
Knocked out by his own teammate.
Yeah,
I know.
All right. Thank you.
That's 2 in 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dow on Pitternet, and then was it Nunes on Silvani?
Try and stay out of each other's way, you think?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Craig, let's go for our first segment. What do you got in Blues news, mate?
Okay, well, as we know, Carlton will be without Jack Silvani this weekend with the versatile forward ruled out due to the concussion rule. In his first game back since his shoulder, Silvani was part of the Carlton attacking mix until, as we just said, he had a mix-up with one of Jack Nunes and, KO'd, so compulsory 12 days rest for Soss, which is, we'll miss his forward pressure and so forth. So, but anyway, it goes on. When he went out of the game, Petrescu Seaton come in. So hopefully, he's just...
Does he keep his spot this week?
Don't know.
It's an odd one.
We'll all know, yeah.
There's other points where he just doesn't deliver, and it's like,
I know, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Just on the injury front too, the replacement for Soss, the talk is that maybe Mark Murphy will come back in. He's apparently over his neck concerns and trained pretty well during the week, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. There was also some positive news coming out of the week for Zach Fisher, who was on the track and who is on track and hopefully will return to some ball program in the next couple of weeks. So if they can get him up and going too, it might be good. Some more positive news on the injury front, which I find quite exciting.
He's up and about, is
Charlie Curnow. Hopefully, the way things are going, we'll start back with the main group training next week.
Oh, it's exciting.
Has been spotted at training, running, jumping, marking.
No basketball?
No jumping fences.
Thank you.
So hopefully, if that is true, well then hopefully we can get Charlie back sooner than later. I reckon he'll make a big difference.
They say he's looking pretty good too.
I was listening to a bit on SEN and they were saying that might have been Sam Edmund, was saying that he actually watched training and he said Charlie's moving really well. So, and there's positive talk about his knee not causing too much major issues going forward. Fingers crossed. On some other injury update, Jack Martin is on track to return maybe in the next 1 to 2 weeks. Could do with having him back. Certainly miss his class around the packs and everything else as well too. So, as we covered, Charlie, hopefully back shortly. Zach Fisher shortly. Brody Kemp's another one. Big talk was that he could have played VFL this week, but unfortunately with the bye, it's going to be hopefully pushed back to the week after. Caleb Marchbank, as we know, is the season. Oscar McDonald is to be advised. I think he's going to miss probably most of the year.
He'd be handy now.
Yeah. Mitch McGovern with that hammy, maybe still 8 weeks away yet. Mark Murphy, as we said, should hopefully, by the sounds of things, will replace Soss. Sam Phillip has been ruled out again with a groin, so hopefully after the VFL bye, he comes back. And as we know, Jack Silvani, he's gone now for the 12 days of the concussion rule. It was an interesting interview with Jacob Wiedering. Again, he's just reiterating that the players are trying. They realise they're having these fade-outs and just trying to find the answers. Why, where, how. So
hurry up and find them, will
you? Yeah. Now, also, if Big Levi Casbolt gets a game this week, it is his 150th game for the Mighty Blue Baggers. Well, so Levi. we wish Levi all the best. Harry McKay leading the goal kicking. Certainly a shining light, and it's something that Carlton hasn't had for quite a while yet. So, pen to paper, yes very soon.
Wasn't it? He's on 30 at the moment, but it makes him the ninth player.
Yeah, in Carlton's history, to do. I think Harry Valance had four up to this point.
Harry Sleepy Valance.
Yeah, Stephen Cunahan didn't even do it.
But Fev did it twice.
Just on the last little bit, Eddie Betts got nominated for goal of the week. Not sure how he went. Who actually won the goal of the week?
I don't know, but did you see the mark?
Oh.
It was Brody Rychek.
That's rigged.
I had that in my news to cover
off. Jack Means' goal last year. Should have won goal of the year.
But he can still take it. Rioli can still because then it gets taken over at the end and the extra 5 points get allocated.
Yeah.
So, cross fingers, common sense actually.
Shy Bolton.
Shy. Oh, what did I say?
Rioli.
Well, Bolton and Rioli on top of my news.
Maybe you're thinking about the boxing ring.
Is that all we got, Craig?
Yep.
All right. Yep. Okay, Mel, you look like you're keen to jump in.
Oh, she is ready to go. Look at her.
Well, talking about Shy Bolton and Daniel Rioli, caught up in a scuffle in a nightclub. Reportedly, Rioli was defending his girlfriend, Melbourne DJ Paris Lawrence. They were out celebrating a birthday. And things turned to poo, basically. And so
and
now we've got Shy, who just took, as we said, Mark, we believe to be Mark of the Year, and like the headlines are all saying, now he's out for 3 weeks with a wrist. This has actually caused a lot of senior players to actually come out and say, guys, you've got to be a little bit more responsible. You're in the public eye. Dangerfield turned around and said that social media, you know, there's, in his words, I don't, dickheads out there, that are just trying to troll you and just want to be able to post this crap to social media. And, you know, Eddie's also came out and said he's a pact, and he believed it changed his actual career, that he has with his wife Anna, that nothing good happens after midnight. So he partied pretty hard and got himself into a bit of strife back in 2009 with the Blues. So he's using some wise words for these young fellas.
Yeah.
So
on that boat cruise.
Cruise, that's
Levi.
Right.
Levi Casbolt. Yes.
Then sticking with that, I was just going to touch on the Mark of the Year and how crazy that Collingwood just got their social media bandwagon cranking, and how much the power of persuasion out there. It was just crazy. But hopefully Shy does take it out and they can throw it back at my check. Another thing I'd like to touch on is Lysette. He copped it really sweet for his concussion sling tackle on Adelaide's Ned McHenry. There was no mucking around with this one. He's out for 4 weeks. He rolled it, he sledged him into the ground. So I think that's fair. And he was quite remorseful for himself, pleaded guilty, took it on the chin. So. Yep.
So off you go with your prison bar jumper and take 4 weeks.
And moving on to another Rioli, we have to talk about
Willie.
Willie,
silly Billy.
Puff and Willie.
Oh, Willie.
Do you know there used to be a train in back in Victoria called Puff and Billy? Yeah. They've now changed it to Puff and Willie.
Poor old Willie, he was jumping back on a plane, coming back from Northern Territory to Perth. He was due to start training with the Eagles second week of June, I think it was, but was found with 25 grams of marijuana taped and concealed to the inside of his leg. Guys, do we just go, mate, are you just an idiot? Like, he's a target. He's a public figure. They're all going to be looking at him. What the heck are you thinking, buddy?
Folks are dumb where I come from.
So, it's not a good look. How do you think the Eagles are going to have to tackle this? They said they're going to make a statement towards the end of the week with their decision on what they're going to do. With all the ASADA stuff, with everything, what do you do with a kid like this? Everyone's saying wrap your arms around him and support him. But they've been doing that for the last 18 months, you know, and it's tough.
You'd almost think with their history with the drugs,
yep,
that it's now time for them to make a stance and say, right, we're changing our culture, da-da-da-da-da. Sorry, Willie, you're gone.
No, he'll be captain, actually.
I just don't think it sets a good image. No. I mean, we've all got, I've got young teenagers, you know, these guys look up to their role models, you know. You can't have this going on. Matthew Lloyd, they were saying, this is just can't be happening. You're a role model for a reason. Like, you've got to set good examples for these kids. And if the Eagles aren't going to take a stand, what is it saying? You can do what you want. You can be a professional athlete and take whatever drugs you like.
Yeah.
It's just a joke.
You'd think he'd learn from...
What, the first time or the second time?
You'd think from his tampering that there'd be no way you'd...
You'd keep your nose clean.
You would. Yeah. Well, he tampered with his urine sample.
Yeah, I know, it's just that word.
The Powerade or whatever, the Gatorade.
And then he tested positive to marijuana as well. Like, it's like, come on, you can't just keep giving this...
Anyway, that's the Eagles culture. Yeah. Move on.
Yeah, it's a Carlton show.
They're not Eagles.
Okay, really exciting, and I know you guys will be pumped about this. Thursday nights... The teams are going to be listed again. So we're going back to the way things should be.
Not sure. This just means Craig will have to talk a bit longer. No, no.
You guys don't need an excuse, do you?
Very, very glad that they're bringing that
back.
Yeah,
it's pretty helpful when it comes to these sort of shows as
and,
well.
And to all the people who do their tips.
Tips, yeah, exactly. It's
the tipsters that have actually been calling it.
I think you need my book.
Calling it because they, you know, it makes it so difficult before the start of bounce down. On that, Thursday night games are actually back as of round 13 as well. So that's exciting. So that frees up, it's going to ease up a few of the double up games that we're getting on the Saturdays and the Sundays.
Is that about it, Mel?
I think that's about it, yeah.
All right, thank you for that, mate. We don't want to do it, Jesse, but we have to do it.
Yeah, I know.
But it's your turn. You've got to give us.
You're in tears.
You've got to give us the review of last week's game against the Doggies, mate.
Yep. So it was our fourth test against a finals opponent, and we completely failed again. We can't accept playing three quarters of football every week. It's not acceptable at all. We played some of the best footy we've played across that second and third quarter, probably for the year. It was actually electrifying football. It looked fantastic.
Yep.
And then, like I said earlier, we just threw the tail in, put the brakes on, and the effort was not there in the last quarter.
What is it? Now, I know if you know the answer to this, you'll be going down as a coach, but why can't we stop a run-on?
I don't think we assess the play like with being knowing when to stop, like slow down the ball movement and when to speed it up. And I think Teague actually has said that in his press conferences a bit.
So we can't judge the tempo of the game.
I don't think we can. I don't think. I know maybe it's a bit of footy smarts as well. We just don't seem to have that game awareness all the time.
There was some damning video of our back line and two players in particular. I'm not going to name it.
Yeah.
There was terrible in that when the Doggies had that run on where they just were ball watching.
Yeah.
Instead of looking where their man was, open space, they were just ball watching.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just bad.
Yeah, and it was Lipinski goal.
That's one. That was one of them.
Where you would imagine, I never played defence, but you would imagine that Liam Jones would have a swivel on his head, and looking back,
I wasn't going to name anyone, but that's a you're right. Yeah. It's just damning evidence of someone that's not doesn't know where his man is, he's not paying attention.
No.
He's just ball watching.
Yeah, and Melbourne, who we play this week, they've been throwing one quite deep in their back line, so they've been able to cover a lot more ground using that second or third tour down in defence.
When we were getting smashed out of the centre, when Bond and Pelly just took over.
Yeah.
I was crying out, I don't know how many times, but we had the same players in the centre. And David Cunningham has been sensational for us since he's been back.
Yeah.
And when they put him into the centre after that run on, two occasions took straight out.
Straight out.
Yep.
And then they took him back out of the centre again.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what's...
Yeah, it's crazy with that centre clearance stuff in that last, quarter and a half we just got... Well, maybe even the last half we just got destroyed.
Smashed.
It was demoralising, really.
But it's easy to fix. It happens continuously that we don't put that pressure in the midfield and our backmen who... Okay, the ball's coming in quick. I get that.
Yep.
I understand that because of the pressure from the midfield. However, the backmen have got to be accountable.
Absolutely.
And they're not.
Yeah.
No. And that's why the evidence was damning if you've seen the footage.
Yeah.
And it can be so easily fixed where you could stop this. And as you said, if they learn to play a bit of tempo footy, because you're right, they go at one pace.
Yep. Yes.
It's that same pace. Instead of take a bit of the heat out of the game, kick it around for a while, they don't do that.
Yeah, I feel like when we do slow it down, it's at the wrong part of the game. That's totally, the biggest issue is it's at the wrong part of the game. If you're going to slow it down, maybe, you know, around that 13-minute mark, if you've got a bit of control.
Do you think we tend to slow the game down when we have a bit of a lead instead of going?
Keep going.
That's my point. Extending the lead.
Yeah. And it's happened. That's what, again, against Essendon, we got a bit of momentum. And then late in the game, they were able to draw it back a bit.
I think we're still playing a bit of panic footy. You know, they're just desperate to try and do what they can, and they're not actually thinking of the game plan. And
it's out of those stoppages as well, where sometimes, we love him, Ed Kerner and stuff, but sometimes he's not the best by foot, and I think he would be first
to admit that
as well. But instead of just slapping it on the boot, draw someone in, bring that hand pass out, and not a 1 or 2 metre little hand pass, a nice sweeping hand pass 3 or 4 metres out into the fat side.
So,
I was just going to quickly touch on Eddie's 5 goals. That was he's probably one of the better performers.
He has been one of the best on ground.
Yeah,
I would just say
Wietering was probably the best for the day.
Yep.
I think he just cleaned up in the back half there.
I feel for Witters. It's just he's trying to carry the whole team on his shoulder. It seems like he's playing with such passion.
Yeah, true. Anyway, let's hopefully next week, Jesse, you can come in and do a review. We're up
and about.
Yeah, I'll see how we go. Anyway, time now to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to former Carlton and Melbourne footballer Brock McLean. Go Blues. It's the famous old dark blue. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to former Blues star Brock McLean. Good morning, Brock, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues. Hello, Brock. Hello. Hello, Brock. Are you there? Can't hear you, Brock.
Oh, we've got something.
You're very soft. Very soft, Brock. Maybe I'll hang up and I'll try and dial you back, but you're very soft, mate. So I'll hang up and I'll try and call you back. While I'm trying to get Brock back on the line, Jesse, can you do the seconds review, please?
Yes, I can. So the Blues, they played Footscray down... Did we play away this week?
They played down at Footscray.
Footscray, yeah. So it wasn't a bad performance. A bit of like a two. It was a weird game, actually.
Yeah,
it was. We actually
watched it. They had their moments where they looked ordinary.
Yeah.
But then when they clicked, they looked really good.
Yeah.
It was just a
kind of translates into the senior side as
well. It was like watching the seniors at times.
Yeah.
Like even some of the senior players that are back there playing, you can understand why they're back there playing.
Yep. Josh Honey kicked a couple.
Josh Honey looked really good. Yep. I must admit, Crocker looked really good.
Yeah.
I know he's not a Carlton listed player.
And he's put his name into the draft.
I think I've got Brock back on the line.
Have we got you now, Brock?
Yeah, can you hear me?
No, I still can't hear. It's terrible.
I
You can hear him. He's just a bit soft.
Very soft. Mm. Got you there, Brock?
Yeah, I'm here. Can
yeah, there we go. Oh, that's
perfect.
Better.
Got you now, mate. Got you now. Sorry about that.
All good. All
bit,
good.
Bit of a difficulty. Mate, look, thanks for joining Breakfast with the Blues, mate. Before I hand you over to the panel for a few questions, mate. Mate, a lot of the listeners might not know this, but I think you were destined to be a Carlton player. Firstly, your grandfather, Rod, played with the Blues. Your great-uncle, Ken, and, of course, your uncle, Ricky, played with the Blues, mate. So you're obviously destined to be a Carlton footballer.
Well, my first ever footy jumper was a little Carlton jumper with the number 14 on the back, and that was, you're right about Pop. He played, I think, 120-odd games, played in the 38, 45 premierships, and then was chairman of selectors for a number of years, and then, great-uncle Ken. And then Ricky as well, he was there for 6 or 7 years. Of his career before going to Richmond. So, yeah, I guess you could say that Carlton was always in the blood and, it was a great result in the end to be able to wear the number 14, which Ricky and obviously my pop wore as well.
Yeah, mate. Ricky was a bit stiff that he was joined the Blues in that era where they had Alex Jezolinko and bring Brian Kekovic back then, because I'm showing my age here, mate, but I've seen your uncle play, Rick, and, mate, could he play? And, mate, was he rough as guts? And he was great to actually watch on the footy field. And, like, even went to Richmond, they had, I think it was Neil Baum there. So with Ricky and Neil Baum there, what a duo, mate. But he could certainly play your uncle.
Yeah, you were right about the fact that he really struggled or didn't really get much of a look behind Jezolinko on those types of plays. I think one week he came in because Jezza was out and he kicked five, and then from centre-half forward and then got dropped the next week because Jezza was back.
He
was a little bit unlucky in that regard, but I think most people remember Ricky because of his temper and his ability to lose the plot at times, and that was a bit unfortunate because he could actually play the game and he was quite talented, and I think his first year at Richmond he might have kicked 55 goals or something in that vicinity, so... him and Barmy together were a bit of a duo to be reckoned with.
They certainly were. Mate, I'll throw you over to Jesse.
Morning, Brock. How's things?
It's a beautiful morning here in Melbourne, mate. It's been hailing and raining and it's about 8 degrees and I'm on my way to play footy, so I think I might do a hammy in the warm-up.
Oh, that's lovely. At least you can get a few touches down there. What league are you playing in? What grade?
I'm in the GVFL, Goulburn Valley Footy League, and playing for a team called Shepparton United. So,
very nice.
I'm just on my way up there now with my great ruckman and partner in crime, Shane Neves, who spent a bit of time on Melbourne's rookie list in my early years. So hopefully we can get a result today.
Very nice. Hey, did you start off in number 7 at Carlton? And obviously you just touched on your family lineage. That's obviously the reason why you moved to number 14. And was it number 7 that you started in?
Yeah, I started in number 7 and didn't have too much luck in number 7. And the boys actually joked a little bit about sort of the curse of number 7. A couple of the players before me didn't do too well in it either. But once number 14 came available, I think Brad Fisher...
Oh yeah,
finished up, and he was wearing number 14, so I jumped at the chance to stick to that number purely because of the fact that my, sort of Ricky and my pop Rod wore that number as well. So it was a very special number to the family.
Okay, Brock, how you going? Craig Bradford here.
G'day, Craig.
Listen, mate. At the end of the 2009 season, you were traded to Carlton. How did this come about? And did Carlton contact you, or did you go through management to contact Carlton, or?
Look, I guess it sort of got towards the end of the year and I felt like it would be best for sort of both parties, myself and the Melbourne Footy Club, for us to part ways. I was sort of at a stage in my career where I'd felt like gone a bit stale and felt like I needed a bit of a fresh start and that, that I was going to play my best footy elsewhere. So I approached my manager and, he went and just put the feelers out, I guess, and Carlton came back to us and showed a lot of interest. And, I'd spent a bit of time under Brett Ratney my first year at Melbourne. He was the midfield coach, so we'd had a bit of a history there. And Bob O'Reilly was at Carlton as well, who, coached me at Melbourne for a few years as well. So that's where sort of the interest came in. And, I happened to be in Vegas at the time when the Carlton boys were on their footy trip. As well, when the trade went through, so it was a great initiation process for me to have a night out with them once the trade went through.
That was good. Mate, one of my fondest memories of one of your games, and I'm probably it's same with Chris here, is round 18, 2013 against Richmond. Mate, the dying seconds, you kicked that goal from the pocket. What was the feeling when you kicked it, and the how'd you feel after it went through and the siren went?
Well, my first initial thought was it was a pass to Levi, and he ran under it. I was like, you absolute idiot. That was a laced-out pass. You're marking that. We're having a shot at goal. And then when it sort of bounced through over the top, I was like, yes, well, left Levi always going for goal. So, but, yeah, it was a pretty surreal type of feeling, you know, considering how much we were down by with not long to go. You know, and I still get Carlton supporters coming up to me from time to time saying, you know, that was one of their most sort of memorable moments in, you know, probably the past 10 years. So it was a pretty special feeling in the end.
Mate, Levi probably done us a favour by running underneath it.
Well, exactly. He would have been on a bit of a funny angle and, you know, sort of Levi hasn't been the most reliable player when it comes to kicking goals at that stage of his career anyway. So, yeah, he probably did everyone a favour.
Yeah.
Hey, Brock, could you give us a little bit of insight into what it was like under both Rutten and then moving into Malthouse? What was it like coaching, being coached by both of them?
Look, I think I really think that Brett was very hard done by, and I think that the board really jumped the gun in, you know, sort of how he was treated and, you know, how he was sort of exited from the footy club. But I felt like Brett was at, you know, probably a really good stage of his coaching career, and I think we were worse off for him leaving. And then when sort of Mick came along, I really didn't feel like that that he was sort of the right person for the job, and I felt like his intentions weren't sort of aligned with where the footy club was heading. So I just felt like it was a real period of, I wouldn't say turmoil, but it was a real period of just sort of going backwards for the club under Mick. So, you know, it's good to see that the club sort of recovered from that period and hopefully on the up, but their sort of win-loss record at the moment wouldn't suggest that.
It's funny you bring that up about Mick, because us being one-eyed Carlton supporters that we are, we often talk about it, and that whole Malthouse era, that probably set us back 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you just look at what sort of happened to the club at the time and the players
that they brought in. The players that lost,
players that lost, and, you know, the regression in the sort of the performance of the club. And, you know, we played finals in, when was it, 2013 or 14? But, you know, that was sort of by default because Essendon, you know, was sort of eliminated from the final series because of what happened with the drug saga.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're, I think a lot of Carlton supporters have sort of echoed the same sentiment as me, that, you know, it was a real period of, you know, going backwards to the club and a real period of regression.
Yeah. Brock, we've had a text come in through here on the text line from Zach. He just wants to know who your alliances are with this weekend with the Blues playing the D's.
Look, I'm a habitual fence sitter when it comes to this type of question.
Hang on, Brock. This is a Carlton radio show. Just remember that.
Well, look, if it comforts any of you guys, I've actually tipped Carlton tomorrow.
Ooh, so that's where good man.
I think the result is going to be. I just think, you know, there's been a lot of sort of negative headlines about Carlton in sort of the past week. And I think, you know, sort of the questions about sort of Paddy Cripps and his performance has been like a massive overreaction and a massive disrespect to him as well. I mean, it's amazing how quickly the media and people in sort of positions of the media are quick to jump on players after they've had one bad game or a couple of bad games in a row and, you know, sort of start questioning their worth and whether they're on the decline. So I really think that's going to work in Carlton's favour tomorrow.
Yeah, hope so.
Good morning, Brock. It's Mel here. I've just been sitting back and letting the boys take the chair for a little bit, which is not like me. But,
no, it's very unusual, Brock. Trust me.
I just want to touch on a few things on the personal side. Last week, you actually were on the ABC. You can't ask that. With a few former football, AFL and NRL players. And you brought up so many issues I just wanted to touch on. Mental health has been something that we've been discussing a lot on the show this season, especially with head hits, concussion, CTE, so heavily in the spotlight. You've publicly spoken about your own battles. Do you believe that, you know, there's got to be more support? You just touched then on CRIPA with social media, with all the media and how quick we are to throw people under the bus. Something's got to change. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, I mean, we live in a world where, well, now it's, you know, sort of the new cycle is 24/7, and, you know, players are on social media, so there's access for fans and media alike to be able to sort of give them feedback, whether it's sort of positive or negative. But, you know, I think as a society as a whole, we're just so opinionated and so quick to judge and so quick to point out, you know, sort of people's defects or what's wrong. And we've just created this sort of environment of negativity and hostility. And while I understand that, you know, that's the nature of the beast in being a professional sporting player, and, you know, you're opening yourself up for criticism, but at the end of the day, you know, these players are human beings as well, and, you know, they go through struggles sometimes, and, you know, they're not always at the top of their game, and it just points out that, you know, we are all human, and we do suffer from time to time, and, you know, the last thing we need is sort of opinionated people, and we need a bit more empathy, you know, to try and understand what other people are going through.
Absolutely, and that just brings me to my next point. You made a comment that you had played, well, we all know you have played 157 games, but only 10% of AFL players play over the 150 mark, and you lost your, when you finished playing footy, you lost your self-worth, and it took you 6 years after you stopped playing to get your life back on track.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was always a struggle for me, but something that footy masked. You know, while I was playing footy, I had a high self-worth because I was attaching it to what I was doing. So the last 6 years has been sort of a really incredible, journey for me, and sort of re-establishing a positive and healthy and compassionate relationship with myself. So, you know, at the end of the day, my self-worth isn't defined by, you know, sort of what I do or what I've achieved in life. You know, at the end of the day, as I've alluded to before, that we're all human beings and we're all deserving of self-compassion and empathy. And, you know, I think other people need to look at it the same way as well.
Brock, just another thing that you did bring up was that you suffered from bulimia. This absolutely blew me away once I actually started to do a little bit of research. The National Eating Disorder Association estimates that approximately 33% of male athletes suffer from eating disorders. This completely... being a female, I've got a daughter who's a ballerina. I just put everything together that it's more of a female's disease, and that's me generalising, and I probably shouldn't. But this blew me away, and it's rife through the AFL, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at anorexia nervosa, the most deadly form of mental health disease there is out there. Like, it kills more people than, you know, sort of depression and anxiety and bipolar. So it's a fairly... serious sort of mental health issue, but, you know, I think a lot of people don't really look at eating disorders as the same way as sort of depression and anxiety and sort of obsessive compulsive disorder, but they're very, you know, sort of aligned in sort of their underlying mechanisms that they're just ingrained in these sort of patterns of thoughts and patterns of behaviour. And, you know, it's a common misconception that it only affects, you know, females because of society's pressures on, you know, women to, you know, to fit or look a certain way, and you know, that we're accustomed to thinking that beautiful is only, you know, that you have to be thin and look beautiful in that regard. But yeah, I mean, that statistic is sort of pretty, is pretty damning, that 33% of footballers or 33% of you know, eating disorder victims are males. So it's something that we need to talk about a bit more. And I mean, it's been, you know, quite cathartic for me to be able to talk about my experiences and a really important part of the recovery process. And it's also important that we hear from people who are in positions of, I guess, prominence to break down that stereotype and that stigma that, you know, A, eating disorders only affect sort of women, and B, that mental health disorders don't really affect, you know, sporting stars or, you know, sort of people who are famous or people who have been successful. I mean, it's just it's a complete myth.
Yeah, no, totally agree, mate. Yeah. Look, mate, you've been very honest and open with us, and we thank you for that. But on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, mate, thank you very much for sharing and giving up your precious time today. Mate, hope you go out there and go be on BOG for old Shep. And as we always finish on this show, mate, with Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Go Blues. Thanks for having me, ladies and gents. It's been
Cheers,
a pleasure.
Bro. See you, bro.
Cheers, bro.
Very open and honest Brock McLean there.
That's good,
mate. He spoke really well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, look, time once again to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we have our great mate, David Rees-Jones. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to cross to our good mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, David Rees-Jones. Good morning. Welcome to Breakfast with the Blues. It's a bit like Groundhog Day, mate.
It certainly is, yeah. No, Another frustrating, I suppose, is probably the best word, and a little bit disappointing too towards the end of the game last week. But their leaders stood up, Bontempelli. He was a superstar in that last quarter, and our guys didn't. So, that therein lies a difference.
Yeah.
Morning, Hive. Mel here. How you doing?
G'day, Mel. How are you?
Yeah, good. I just want to touch on Eddie. Mate, five goals. What a champion. We spoke a couple of weeks ago about when's Eddie going to find his straps. Has he finally, he's found his straps. Do you think he can, you know, hold his form and keep playing the way he is?
Well, that's what he's got to do. He's got to be a dangerous forward and kicking goals. That's what he's there for. And, you know, while he wasn't doing that early, and I suppose we can all be a bit critical, he found some goal-kicking form on the weekend and really give us a bit of a burst, especially in that first half. And I thought his forward pressure too was pretty good.
One thing that we noticed, especially during probably midway through the third quarter going into the last quarter, and we've discussed it already today, is, you know, when are we going to get a plan or something just to stop these run-ons? Because we got slaughtered out of the middle, then it just went into the forward line for them so easy. And it makes it really hard for the backs, and then the backs weren't quite up to it, apart from Weedery.
Yeah, look, it's a tough one. It really is. And back in my day, you know, a team would get a run on, kick a couple of goals, you start a fight. So that used to slow things down. And everyone would get up and be, you know, pretty weary after that. So it'd slow the play right down. And, they don't do those sort of things these days. But it's definitely, it's a major concern. And we just seem to be getting flogged out of the midfield, really, when those things happen. And I don't criticise the back line at all, because I know what it's like when you're down there and players are coming through that midfield with little pressure on them. It is a tough job being a backman. You know, the forward only has to move, and if you've got, you know, skillful players being able to hit them up, then it's very, very hard to stop. So, and that's where we seem to, you know, get that's where the run-ons come from. You know, our forwards and our mids not really putting enough pressure on the opposition and allowing the ball to get out easy and into the opposition forward line pretty easily, and that's very hard to stop.
David, we touched on this earlier in the show that we think, and we could be totally wrong, as I mean, you've played it, you've coached it. We think that they don't know how to play tempo footy, the Blues, at the minute. It's just that one paced. And when we do try to slow it down, it's the wrong time in the game when we have a run on where we're getting in front. We just seem to think and tell us if this is wrong, but we think they don't know how to play that tempo style football. Like when, as you said, when the Doggies got that run on, we should have tried to slow it down, and we didn't. We tried to just go at that same speed.
Yeah, the obvious thing you do is pick up an opponent, and the players don't think like that anymore. I mean, just one-on-one, just go one-on-one for a portion of the time, just to slow things up and get things happening. And that's just basic 101, football education sort of thing. So, the way the game's played now is different, and sometimes you've got to go back to those fundamentals and just slow the game up. Look, everyone grab a man, and just make sure that at least if they do get the ball, they're going to be under some sort of pressure, and that just gives everyone a bit more of an opportunity. We get our breath back, and then hopefully we win the ball over and cause some damage, but. It's easy to sit back and watch, and it's easy to criticise. But when fundamental things aren't being done, I think the criticism needs to be taken on board, and that's what they need to accept.
Morning, Hyfe. It's Jesse here. How's things?
Good, Jess. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. And Craig and I were just talking off air about we're still lacking that on-field leadership. It just doesn't seem, when you said, like, the moments and, Bontempelli taking over the game, we just don't have that leadership quality on the field right now to kind of seize and grab that moment, do we?
No, and the news during the week that Paddy Cripps has got a back injury probably... doesn't help that type of situation because he's a real go-to person who can go in and win the ball and lead by example, but obviously he's a bit restricted at the moment. So, getting needles in the back too, it's not a great thing to hear either, and, for his long-term health and everything. But if you're out there, you're considered fit, and you've got to do what you can do. But you shouldn't just rely on one person. I mean, Bontempelli was just sensational, especially in that last quarter. He just they were down, and he lifted and lifted them and carried them over the line basically. But we saw years ago when Juddy, when we had Chris Judd, he yep. quite often in games, tight games, he just lift us over the line, and there are special players who are like that, but unfortunately at the moment we don't seem to have any, and that leadership thing is a problem. But I think we can see by certain teams that you even look at Melbourne, who we're playing this week, a year or two ago they were they just were disappointing, I suppose, and frustrating for their supporters. But then it all comes together. Players get a bit of confidence and they start believing in themselves. And that's where I think we really lack. I think it's more above the shoulders. We just don't know how to win games. Mm. We put ourselves in position to win games and then just let it slide. So, that's a bit of a... that's against all the players, really. I mean, you just got to find something and get on and get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hyfe, just continuing on with Cripper, it's come. People have been scrutinising the club and coaching staff for three-quarter time. Cripper's out there trying to rev up the boys and trying to give them a big motivational speech to get back in the game and everything like that. And then he starts the fourth on the bench.
Oh, I couldn't figure that out.
No.
What's your take on
that? I don't think many
that?
People, but, really, I suppose they should have come out and mentioned after the game that, He's playing injured at the moment. I think that, you know, that's become, you know, aware now. But I'd rather him not out there, to be honest. If he's going to have to sit out, you know, important stages of the game, and especially when Bontempelli just, you know, took over and I kept crossing to the bench and he was still sitting there. So, you know, if he's not right and not 100%, give him a spell for a couple of weeks, you know, just it also gives us an opportunity to, you know, get some games into some more of these younger blokes too. So, you know, it can be... We're not going to win the flag this year. So I think that's what you'd need to look at. So, well, we're not going to win the flag. So what we need to do is get games into players. We don't need to be playing... you know, I know we rely heavily on Cripper and certain players, but don't play them injured. Don't play them injured. It's not going to be good for them or us in the long term.
Yeah, totally agree, mate. Mate, earlier on the year, yourself and myself as well, we've been screaming out for some pace and someone with class. In the last few weeks, David Cunningham has done that and brought it in. And I was screaming at the television last week when we were getting smashed in the centre, why isn't David Cunningham in the centre? When they brought him onto the ball, twice in a row he took the ball out of the guts from a tap out. Sometimes I just can't get it. The guy has just got a bit of class about him.
Yeah, he has. He really has. We seem to have a bit of midfield depth at the moment, and that's another reason I think. Look, we got Zach Williams in; he wants to play midfield, but I think give him a run across half back. You know, that's where he played most of his footy at the Giants. Get a bit of confidence back in his game, and get, you know, blokes like Cunningham and that getting through, because obviously Williams isn't getting enough of the ball and hurting opposition teams at this point in time. And that may come, you know, it may come, but it's not happening now, and you need to make decisions on the spot, that, you know. And I'd have Williams, I mean, it'd be one of the most expensive half-back lines in the league with Saad and him across there. But, yeah, you just have to play players where they're, you know, where they're going to be more beneficial to the team than a liability, I suppose. Yeah.
You posted something on your Facebook just the other day. You know, we're all major supporters here of the Prader-Willi Syndrome Association. Now, you mentioned that you're going to be doing a candid interview with Styx next week, and you're launching your own personal 15 for 15 challenge. Do you want to share anything with our listeners about that?
Yeah, I did push-ups last year, and I pulled up sore after the first couple of days and had to do it every day for 15 days after that. So I thought, I'm not doing anything too physical. But what I've decided this year is I'm going to interview 15 stars,
wow.
15 stars in 15 days. So there'll be a variety of people who I've come across and become friends with, whether opposition players or whatever. So yeah, just to catch up with 15 different people over the 15 days, and we'll post them onto the Facebook page, and hopefully, you know, it drives a bit of I was only speaking to Paul Vanderhart today actually, and I'll be interviewing him in the next couple of days, so he's a good mate of mine. It'll probably cost me a few beers, but should be a bit of fun anyway.
Yeah. Mate, that's fantastic. Just a quick one, mate, would Dean Gregg be one of those ones you're going to interview?
Greggy, I'm not too sure. I feel a bit sorry for him at times too, because St Kilda really do show that they have got a pretty good team. But they, once again, they're another team, I think, who doesn't know how to win. But yeah. They got a lot of young players in there as well. The kicking the goal last night was atrocious.
Yeah. Wasn't it? Oh,
it was terrible. It was eight behinds in the first quarter.
Jesse, all right, last one, Jesse, go for it.
As we do most weeks. What do you reckon we need to do, obviously, against the D's this week to get over the line against them?
We just need to play four good, hard, consistent quarters and not let up. I think they just need to. We need to go hard for that entire time and really put a lot of pressure on Melbourne. Teams teams don't keep winning, you know, you're going to get them on an off day, and we're going to hope we do get them on a bit of an off day, because they are playing, you know, sensational footy. But as we saw a couple of weeks ago, North Melbourne had them on toast at half time, basically. But and I think we're a bit better team than North Melbourne. So if we can get them, and they're not quite right, we've just got to play four solid quarters of football, and the pressure we need to apply on them is going to be paramount to that. We need to force errors, force them to play their best footy to win.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, mate, we better wrap it up there. As always, thank you very much for giving up your time and sharing it with us. I know, as I always say, that listeners appreciate it. You're always open and honest and straight to the point. Let's hope maybe next week, mate, we've got a bit of a smile on our face and we're up and about, as always. And go Blues.
Go Blues.
Yeah, go the mighty Blues. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank See you, Reece.
David Rhys-Jones.
Legend.
Sounded a bit flat. Anyway, he's always good, open and honest, and he's just fantastic. And I hope the listeners really appreciate he gives up his time for us every week. Mm. So it's
I
fantastic.
Can't wait to listen to some of those interviews.
Oh, they'll be great.
They'll be perfect.
Paul Vanderhaar is a great bloke. Even though he played for Essendon, he is a fantastic bloke. Anyway, just let me, before we go, we've got a big function tomorrow at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. So tomorrow, 16th of May, game starts at 1:20 versus Melbourne on the big screen out there in the front beer garden there. Great, great spot. Get down there a bit earlier, mate, have lunch. We'll be there, but remember the bounce down's 1:20.
Will we?
Are the rolls back?
Well, wait for this, Jesse. Wait for this.
Okay. Jesse, you're all about the rolls.
Yeah, those rolls are great.
Free members raffle for those members who show their 2021 membership card. This week's raffle is the frame signed Carlton Indigenous jumper signed by the whole team.
Ooh. Ooh, that'll look good in my new house.
Again, presented brilliantly by Master Picture Framers. Blair and Maria Buckingham do a great job. Now, you touched on the food, mate. Okay, here we go. Food specials tomorrow. We've got the spit roast back.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful.
We've got the pizzas back.
Beautiful.
We've got the a la carte menu back.
Oh, lovely.
We've got the $10 kids meals, which includes the drink and the dessert.
Awesome.
Drinks.
Oh, here we go.
$7 pints.
Carlton Draft.
Beautiful.
$6 house vodka and mix.
Ooh. Wasn't there jug cocktail jugs? Yeah,
wait for it. You're jumping ahead. $6 Captain Morgan and mix. Ooh. $35 cocktail jugs.
That's what I'm talking about.
Are they co-tails or cocktails?
Cocktails, mate.
Not like Coburn.
Okay. Now, also, after the game, after all the footy games are finished, mate, the band Street Legal Duo will be performing in the front bar. So after all the games are over, stay there and listen to the music, because the Carlisle are supporting us. We need to support them. So get along, all Carlton supporters. As I said, if you're a member and you bring your membership card, you come into the free members raffle, which is always a good. Yeah. It's something from the Carlton shop that we give every week. Mm. So come along. We want to get as many as we can, because the Carlisle are supporting us. We need to support them. Yep. You're going to say something, Craig. It looks like you're going to say something. No.
No. All right. I get into trouble for speaking.
All right.
Just ask me. I'll tell you.
All right. Thanks again, guys, for another great show. As always, as I say, thanks to our great mate, Mr. David Rhys-Jones. I just hope we can somehow have a win or something.
So come on, guys.
We can be all up and about next week.
Setting out the positive vibes.
Yeah. Look, a special thanks to Brock McLean. Open and honest. Mm. He always has. He's a great guy.
Spoke really well.
Great questions, and he speaks well. Look, a lot of ex-Carlton supporters were a bit disappointed on how he played at the Blues, but look, he was injured.
Yeah.
He was his legs were stuffed. And he bleeds blue, trust me, because of that heritage.
He had a couple of real good seasons.
He did.
Yeah,
he did. So anyway, time 1.3 Sport FM, and as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.